You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
This is Kristen Farag for the Art World Demystified, and I'm here with Gaétan Verna, director of the Power Plant, Canada's premier gallery of contemporary art located in Toronto. Formerly executive director and chief curator of Musée d'Art de Joliette in Lanaudière, Quebec, since her arrival at the Power Plant 2 years ago, Ms. Verna's curatorial influence has reached out beyond the walls of the gallery to the city as a whole through events like Nuit Blanche, a wildly successful contemporary art festival produced by the City of Toronto. Gaétan, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
We're here in the beautiful Power Plant Gallery, and I wanted to ask you, what is the mission of the Power Plant?
It's quite simple. The Power Plant is a non-collecting public gallery which aims to present the works of contemporary living Canadian artists and international artists. And if I may add, I think it's also important, it is my vision to think that we are also physically in Toronto. So to try to think of the fact that we're in Toronto looking at Canadian artists on a national level and also international level.
Mm-hmm. So, for yourself here at the gallery, what are you working on now, and what is exciting you the most?
Well, we just opened a series of shows for our fall exhibitions, and it's three artists. It's three different shows. One is Julia Dald, who's originally from Toronto, but based in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and it was her first solo exhibition in a public gallery, and her work is as much about painting as it is about sculpture. And the other show that we presented was, we have this very large corridor called the Clear Story, mm-hmm. since the Power Plant in its inception was a coal-burning power plant. So we have this really large corridor that was where all the coal would be amassed, right? Oh. And so we've increased the walls to 24 mm-hmm. feet and created a space, two walls, where we would invite artists to do site-specific work. Mm-hmm. So within the context of our fall exhibition, we're presenting the works of the artist Shayla Keeley, who's originally from Toronto, lived for about 23 years in New York, and moved back. And we gave her this large canvas on which she presented a brand new site-specific work, which has to do, again, with the relationship of drawing, photography, and painting. And last but not least, an exhibition of Portuguese artist Pedro Cabrita Reis, where he did this incredible expansive sculpture within our large-scale LePage Gallery, and also in our upstairs North Gallery, there's a beautiful work called Toronto Suite, which is one work, but it's 14 paintings. So this is what we just opened. And my interest in presenting, so I curated Pedro Cabrita Reis and also Shayla Keeley, and Julia Paoli, who's our assistant curator, curated the exhibition of Julia Dalt. Mm. And the interesting in pairing these three artists was when I first arrived at the Power Plant about 2 years and 8 months ago, mm-hmm. People often told me how we hadn't been showing painting for many years. So I thought it'd be interesting to explore painting, mm-hmm. but painting as installation, painting as it's often now outside of the frame of the paint, yes. of a 2D, and also the fact that I think many artists now, even if we take the case of Julia Dalt, she's a painter, but she also does sculpture. Mm-hmm. Pedro Cabrita Reis does works on paper, does painting, does sculpture. So I thought that these were interesting things to look at.
Mm-hmm. Bring together. Mm-hmm. So you were saying that the Power Plant being in Toronto and here right on the lake and right in the community that you wanted that to be reflected in the shows that
we program.
That you program. And so did you have an angle of how you were going to go about that, the process for...
Well, I think it's finding opportunities. Last year, fall 2013, we presented the work of Micah Alexier, who's, you know, well-known Canadian artist based in Toronto, very well based in the community. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a mid-career retrospective, but embedded within that exhibition, there was a large group show that he curated where he had 101 Toronto-based artists. And when we say Toronto, it wasn't just metropolitan Toronto, it was in and around Toronto, which was kind of a signal. He presented that project and I immediately said yes, because it was a kind of a way of signaling to the community that the gallery can be, shouldn't only be seen as a space of I get a show in the gallery,
yes,
but it's also in the community creating different types of opportunities, may they be through an exhibition of a solo artist like Micah or like Julia Dahl, who's not in Toronto now but was in Toronto, or Shayla Killey, who is in Toronto but used to be away. And then the show with Micah Alexier, where 101 artists, multi-generational, because often in Kunsthalles or in spaces like ours, you see a shift in generation. It's contemporary living artists, so, you know, the young people are there, and then suddenly the older generations of artists don't seem to be being part of that conversation, even though I think they're key in building the history.
Absolutely.
So what I really loved about this show, it was multi-generational. Mm-hmm. And then also I think that it is our responsibility to be aware of which story do we tell through the exhibitions of the institution. And so I think that's something that I'm always mindful of. It doesn't mean that every program has this, but I think if we want to be true to our mandate to be national and international within the context of Toronto, you have to take that into account. And also another way that I found since I've arrived, what we've done is that we've created a position of curator of education and public program, and created a larger education and public program as a way of bridging the work of the artists that we present, and also creating another opportunity for the visual arts community and also the larger arts community and to be embedded within our program, would be through our international lecture series, where it is also we have this series called Sunday Scene, which is every 2 weeks. It could be theater person, an artist, it could be a university professor, it could be really anyone who's interested by one of the subject matter from the show that comes in, speaks of this work, and then creates that link between the larger community of Toronto and the work.
Say an artist, a dancer or something, responding to
exactly
the work that's being shown in the gallery.
That's it. So they could choose one of the works and decide they want to talk about the, I don't know, combination of colors, or why they think this work works, or how this work works within the context of the exhibition, or even if it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't see the Sunday Scene only this place for celebrating. It could be critique also. Then we have, you know, our regular power tours, which are every Saturdays at 3 or 4 o'clock, which are done by our gallery attendant. Then we have another series called In Conversation that always pairs a curator with an artist. We also have our artist talks, and then we do films, and we sometimes do them in collaboration with other institutions, smaller artist-run centers.
These are the talks you do.
That's it. So it's like trying to create a hub with the gallery. We also work sometimes with poets. We've done poetry salons. So it's like expanding the role of the gallery and with a public program and education, really thinking of creating a bridge between the works that are shown in the gallery and the multiplicity of publics that could be interested in it.
So it can reverberate out in many different ways.
Exactly.
Well, that was actually leads to another question that I had, and that has to do with whether the power plant, in terms of the shows, whether the power plant gallery collaborates with other institutions to do exhibitions, or do you strictly stay within this space in terms of creating exhibitions?
Well, one of the things is I really believe that partnerships are key. And since everybody is really working very hard in order to stretch, you know, the dollars we have, I think the partnership are a really good way to create a dialogue within the gallery and outside the gallery. And those partnership can be the fact that we brought to Toronto from the Vancouver Gallery an exhibition called Beat Nation, Art, Hip Hop, and Aboriginal Culture. In thinking of taking this show that we did not produce, I saw the benefit of the subject matter that they were exploring. There had been no shows really, or a large scale show that would encompass the entire gallery looking at a First Nations practice. Show was done, interesting, why not bring it to the gallery? But in any case, whenever when an exhibition is made for one specific space, the fact of bringing it to another space already changes it, because you reinstall the works. But then it's how, through the public program, we created the whole series of In Conversation, the people we invited through Sunday Scenes, all of that made it its own thing in Toronto, speaking to a different public than the public in Vancouver. So these types of partnerships, or these types of taking a traveling show, quote unquote, but bringing it here and giving it the feel of how would that show function in Toronto, which would be the works that we would choose to present within the scope of that show, so that it makes sense for the Toronto audiences.
And I think I do remember at that time that some of the local galleries were responding to that show here by presenting their own work of contemporary Aboriginal artists. But I'm just wondering about whether you produce shows outside of your space.
No, I haven't. We haven't done that. But for instance, the next show coming up in winter 2015 is called The Unfinished Conversation: Encoding and Decoding, and that's curated between myself and Mark Seeley, who's the director of Autograph, which is a center on photography, Black photography, in England. So we're collaborating together in order to do this show together, in terms of co-curating it and then producing a catalog. There'll be a symposium attached to this project also. So that's another form of collaboration and partnership. Whether the show travels after, we haven't decided. We're also in fall 15 collaborating with the Justina Barnaghy Gallery around an exhibition of a Canadian artist who lives in England, and in Mark Lewis. And that's another form of collaboration between a university and a public gallery. So I really think that there's many types of partnership that can be done. When we did our exhibition of Mike Nelson, there was a co-commissioning of a new work by Mike Nelson, British artist, with the CAG in Vancouver, Contemporary Art Gallery of Vancouver. We co-produce it, and we're co-producing it. So each gallery had their own exhibition. We co-commissioned works. And then we're co-producing a catalog together.
Right. That makes total sense.
Right? Those are partnerships that at the end are beneficial to both institutions, but first and foremost to the artists also.
Yes,
in
absolutely.
The case of Julia Dald, she's having one show at the Power Plant. In the spring, she'll have a different show at the CAG in Vancouver. There might be some works that are similar.
Yes.
And we're working together to do a first monograph of her work. So I think in this day and age, we shouldn't be caught up in what types of partnership, but the fact that we are enabling ourselves or giving ourselves the freedom to do partnerships in order to advance the work of the artist and expand the audiences that see the shows that are produced.
In multiple ways. So now, I wanted to ask you about Nuit Blanche. It's a fantastic event in Toronto, and I wanted to ask you how. I know you were involved in selecting the curators for that show, and I wanted to ask you, or that event, I should say, mm-hmm. what was your criterion process for that?
Well, really, I'm part of a larger advisory committee, and they have a process where there's a list of curators that the first step is they invite people, telling them, would you like to propose a mm-hmm. proposal for Nuit Blanche?
Right.
So that was the initial process, and then from, you know, they ask many people, and people know how much work it is that goes into curating a section in Nuit Blanche, and so not everyone that is invited actually answers.
Yeah.
So we get maybe 6, 7, 9 proposals, and then together in the committee, we analyze them, assess them, and finalize the shows. And so for 2014, what's really amazing, we chose 4 female curators, which is the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great diversity in the practices that they're presenting. And also there's a great level of energy because you have artists from all over the world. It's really international. And there's also artists from Toronto embedded in it. So
yes,
that's it.
It looks like it's going to be a great year. And that's produced by the City of Toronto.
Exactly.
So they're the ones that form the committee and through the city, and
that's
then
it. So
would invite you as a curator to curate.
Well, that's it. But I'm just a member of the advisory committee. I don't curate. It's we as a committee chose the 4 curators that are mm-hmm. curating, and then after all our work is to support. To, you know, I did a talk with the curators,
yes,
to be present, to assess, and then to be the, you know, supportive of the project.
Right. That's fantastic. So another thing that I know that you're doing is that you're going to be giving some members of the gallery a tour in Europe, and I wanted to ask you what your agenda is in Europe and what and who you'll be seeing, and that sounds like fun.
Yes, I mean, the power plant's known for we have an international traveling program. We also have a North American travel program. And for the last 2 years, when I first arrived, I was very interested in showing, you know, different countries to people that they haven't been to or that they wouldn't think of in terms of contemporary art. So this year, and if you followed what we've done last summer, we have the Portuguese artist Vasco Araújo.
Mm-hmm.
Now in fall 14, we have Pedro Capitarais. So I thought, you know, because I visited the Portugal mm-hmm. in order to do research on these artists that are 2 different generations mm-hmm. of artists, I thought it'd be interesting to go to Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are going to Paris, and Paris is an interesting trip because while in Paris, we seem to be seeing Canadian artists in Paris, which again is an interesting thing for us to be doing. So when we start, we're going to see this site-specific commission of Montreal-based Canadian artist Geneviève Cadieux,
mm-hmm.
Titled Milky Way, that is in one of the metro station in Paris.
Cool.
And then Mark Lewis is premiering a new show at the Louvre. He had a commission at the Louvre, so mm-hmm. we'll be going to see that, to have a private visit with him and the curator at the Louvre. And on the same night, David Altmedge, another Canadian mm-hmm. artist, also but living in New York, is having his first a solo exhibition at the Musée d'Art Moderne de la Ville de Paris. So we're also going to see that. So that's the Canadian element mm-hmm. within this Paris trip. And then, you know, we'll go to visit different galleries, such as the Camille Menor Gallery, which also represents an artist called Zined Zadira, which mm-hmm. we're presenting in our winter exhibition, The Unfinished Conversation. What else are we doing? We're going to the Espace Culturel Louis Vuitton to see an exhibition of Andrew Bowers.
So how many people would you take on this trip usually?
Maximum 15 people.
15.
And, you know, and then what we try to do, we'll go to Gallery Jocelyn Wolff, also Marcel Alix, Emmanuel Hervé, Antoine Lévy. So we go see different areas and we go see different galleries, meet the galleries directors, look at the exhibitions that are going on. also create this opportunity to meet different museum directors mm-hmm. together with our patrons. So on our second night, we're having dinner at Bistro Paul Bert, and we're meeting with Kevin Mullen, who's the artistic director of the Casino Luxembourg. Also, Jean Deloisy, who's the president of Palais de Tokyo, and also some collectors. So the idea is to create also this area of dialogue between these professionals and our patrons, and also to not only look at artworks, mm-hmm. but to also create this environment where we could think of the things, and also give them a sense of what's happening in Paris.
Yeah.
So we're doing 2 days in Paris, and also going to the Centre Photographique d'Île-de-France to see an exhibition that was curated by Chantal Pontbriand, Canadian, living in France, uh-huh. used to be at the Tate. So this it didn't start out being that theme, but it seemed really interesting in what was happening during those 2 days in October that we are there to be able to give our patrons that experience. And then we'll go for another 4 days in Lisbon. And there in Lisbon, we'll visit the studio of Pedro Cabrita-Reis. We'll also visit the Gulbenkian Museum, that is really, you know, the state within the states, which has this incredible historical museum that has amazing collection of Islamic art. Mm. And the Gulbenkian Foundation, the historical part is so exquisite that often people refer to it as the Petit Louvre, you know, yes. in view of the diversity and the quality of the works. And they also have a contemporary center within Gulbenkian Foundation. So we'll see this also. We'll visit the works of different artists. Cristina Guerra and Pedro Serra. We'll go visit certain galleries like Filomena Soares. We'll visit the studio of the artist Vasco Araujo and go see his show at the Baginski Gallery. And I'm trying to see, we're also meeting the artist Angela Feria, and probably go to the Caroline Pages Gallery.
Wow.
The Berardo Museum. And I'm trying to see. There's also the work that Joanna Vasconcelos had done. We'll probably go see that, maybe do a studio visit with her. I hope that we'll get an opportunity. There's some key female artists in Portugal, such as Ana Diota and Elena Almeida, that I hope will get. So again, there, seeing the works of different generations of artists, mm-hmm. male, female. There's a space called Courte Geste that we'd like to visit, and also Kunsthalle Lisabon. So, you know, kind of seeing different things, a really packed itinerary.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like
and
it.
And then our last stop would be Porto, where we would go to the very important Serralves Foundation, which has Susan Carter as the director, and to see the exhibitions that are there. And there's another, there's other private spaces there. So really, you know, within the 4 days, it's early in the morning, and it's a mix of public gallery, private galleries, studio visits, some collections, and, you know, always great food also.
Yes, port. Yes. and those, the people that go with you coming back here will have gained so much perspective on the things that you're programming in the gallery.
That's
here
it.
As well. It's fantastic.
So when we can, you know, it's also about giving them insight on what's mm-hmm. coming up. And then it's different when you see the work of an artist in the gallery and when you go to his studio. So I think that understanding what is the context in which the artist is working, it's very different to see how an artist such as Vasco Araujo, what his studio looks mm-hmm. like compared to Pedro Cabrita-Reis, mm-hmm. who does these large-scale installations mm-hmm. and painting and sculptures. So being able to get insight on the space within which the artist is actually producing and thinking and living with his production, I think, is really a key moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sounds fantastic. I wish I could go. No, just back to your programming at the power plant. Do you ever exhibit emerging artists? And if so, how are they chosen? Or,
well, I mean, since we've started, I think the best example was in the Mike Alexia mm-hmm. show, but this was really, the choice came from him, the artist.
That wasn't something that you asked him to do.
No, he presented a project where he wanted to show different artists. And he said to me, there'll be a variety of artists. For some artists, it was their very, very, very first show presenting their works in a public gallery.
Period.
That's it. So that's something that that I was very open to it. Next summer 15, there'll be a show of three young female artists that are from Toronto who are starting to get this kind of recognition, mm-hmm. but I think also it's trying to find the happy balance, because you want the exhibition of an artist at the power plant to be meaningful for them mm-hmm. and to be a milestone in their career, depending mm-hmm. on where this exhibition sits for them.
Yes.
You know, so this is, you know, the curator, the assistant curator would propose projects to me, and I would go, you know, this summer exhibition in 2015 with Laurie Kang involved in it. It was Julia Paoli who proposed this to me. And mm-hmm. I went, sure, why not? Because, again, it creates this opportunity for these younger artists to present their works here. In the same way, we've developed a fellowship with the Royal Bank of Canada, a curatorial fellowship, where a recent graduate of a master's degree in art history or in curatorial study comes mm-hmm. and works with us for 2 years, mm-hmm. paid, mm-hmm. and at the end of these 2 years, as part of their, you know, the end of their fellowship, they get to curate a show in the gallery. Mm-hmm. They'll choose the artist, they'll choose the project, we curate the show, mm-hmm. they curate the show, we do a small publication, mm-hmm. and off they go. Mm-hmm. We'll get another fellow in. And the reason why I came up with this model was that not only does this provide, it really is about providing an opportunity to a young professional
yes.
to actually have a job and at the end learn every area mm-hmm. of their work within a gallery. And then hopefully this enables them to after get a position, because too often these entry-level positions are non-existent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that we've done that started the first fellow, Clara Alpern, started in August 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping to keep this program going on.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. Well, thank you. Now getting back to you and just wondering how you got involved in the arts. At the earliest stages in your career or in your life?
Well, see, I come from a family of six children where everyone played an instrument. So uh-huh. I played the cello. I danced classical ballet till my early 20s. Uh-huh. And cello, you know, seriously till maybe 20-something. Played in orchestras. And so from a young age, being aware of what it takes to be an artist, quote
yes.
unquote, and from an early age, realizing that I would not be an artist.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can play the cello and I can play in an orchestra, but I wouldn't dedicate my life to being the artist.
Right.
Right. But also understanding that I thought it was important for artists to have a great environment in which to work and have people that would be financially savvy and also know where you need to take the risk, the artistic risk.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, so originally, as crazy as it might seem, I was thinking that I could be the administrative director of the Montreal Symphony Orchestra. And then when I grew up, I could move to the New York Philharmonic Orchestra as, you know, as if
yes.
this is. So that was my first idea because of the link with cello, music
and
ballet
yes.
and things like that. And then, you know, working and realizing that I was really interested in visual arts and at first wanting to work in auction houses, but then learning about that, understanding that, which mm-hmm. was not, it's something that I think is very important to understand the influence on exhibitions, on a career in art is, or acquisition by certain collectors or by certain institution, how it does have an impact on the recognition of an artist or their market value, but realizing that this was not exactly what I wanted to do. And so so I first studied that.
Did you want to have more of a direct relationship with the artist?
Yes, I wanted to. I realized that it was, for me, more important to work within a public gallery where you could create opportunities for different artists to present their work and work with them directly in order to promote what they're doing. And so I did, then I did studies in Paris at the Sorbonne, where I did an MA on African-American artists in Paris after 1945, trying to look at why would African-Americans, at the height of when New York takes over from Paris, why would they want to be in Paris at that time. So it was really interesting in understanding what was happening there, and the area of my research was 45 to 69, and
you're saying the African American artists
in Paris,
Between
45 and 69. So 45, the end of the Second World War. 69 was a date that I chose because it was, at that moment, there was one exhibition which was for the first time titled Three Black Artists in Paris. So I looked at that, and it's really interesting because it's all about the GI Bill, it's all about civil rights, it's all about this freedom. It's really an interesting, and there's a lot of American artists still in Paris when New York is taking over the art world. So that was the in terms of my master's degree, that's what I studied. And then after I did a first-year PhD, where I looked at the installation works of African-American artist David Hammons. And that's a different era. But so from that research, it really indicated to me that I was really interested in working with living artists and working in an environment where we could put exhibitions together. But because of my general art history background, I'm still interested in collections. So at first, I was director for 8 years of a university art gallery in Lennoxville, Quebec. And then for 6 years, I was director of a museum called Musée d'Art de Joliette, where we had collections from the 14th century up till today. So there was the ability of integrating very contemporary works of art with very historical works of art. One amazing example that I'll never forget is presenting a video by Bill Viola within our historical religious collection. So, and I thought that it worked magnificently, and for the size of our institution, there was no need for us to show 15 Bill Viola. First of all, we couldn't have afforded.
No.
But that one piece, Observance, worked perfectly within the gallery, and the visitors understood that. You know? So then we did another example with a British artist called Oswaldo Machia, where we put this work, I forget the title, but this work, which was basically a sound piece of people crying from different, it's not religion, but people from different places in the world. You know, crying, weeping can be very different from different societies. And so we presented that on loudspeakers. The work was really, it was these gray loudspeakers with little corkscrew benches under which you would sit, and you would listen to this archive of weeping within our religious collection. For some people, it was a shock, and then I think it enabled us to bring people back to the, especially like when we say religious collection, we're in Quebec, so it was mostly Catholic. And so it was also to bring back to people the notion that, you know, the Catholic religion, it's, these works were made to scare you also into understanding what Jesus did, you know, how he died on the cross. So what over the years became these very peaceful works of art, if you think of the Middle Ages or 14th century, they were not
meant
originally
something.
Meant to mm-hmm. be just this peaceful thing. That there is what, you know, the embedded violence
yes.
of you know, a Christ on the cross. So using Oswaldo Machia's work in dialogue with this historical collection, it totally made sense to people. Mm-hmm. And what I love were people who at first would come and say, this is really disturbing. And then they'd come back and they'd bring people mm-hmm. because it grew on them and they understood that. So
very multi-sensory.
Exactly. And I think that so that was an experience for me that I really like, being able to show works of Goya next to works of Alfredo Jarre, mm-hmm. which have subject matter that would link to each other, mm-hmm. even though we're talking, you know, years and mm-hmm. years, mm-hmm. centuries apart. So, and then coming to the power plant, where really it's non-collecting and it's all about exhibition of living artists.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like you're bringing a very powerful cultural influence of your own background to Toronto. And I wanted to ask you if you see a prejudice towards women in the arts, and particularly women of color. And the work of the Guerrilla Girls continues to highlight discrepancies based on sex, but not necessarily color. And I'm wondering, how do you see the situation in contemporary art for artists as well as administrators?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's an interesting question, but you know what? I really think that because of who I am, mm-hmm. it should be, this type of question should be asked to the others, right? The others, which is the quote unquote dominant, right? Or it's complicated to decide who's dominant,
yeah.
but it's like when people think of what is power or mm-hmm. what is, what represents power in this day and age, what do they think about? And I think it would be much more interesting to ask, I don't know, like, I don't need to be a spokesperson for that, but it'd be interesting to send that question to somebody else who's not female and black, to ask them what is their position on that, you know? And it's very interesting to think of who is leading what in terms of institution,
mm-hmm.
Who is leading non-collecting or collecting institutions, and who's in the position of directing these institutions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a struggle for everyone, but at the same time, you know, let's say I was chosen here mm-hmm. and doing what I'm doing mm-hmm. and bringing like a wide-ranging interest, because as a public gallery, it has to be a wide-ranging.
Mm-hmm.
My interest is that the visitors who come to the power plant, that they would not know what's coming next,
mm-hmm.
that the one comment they would make is like, oh my God, we don't know what's coming next in this
mm-hmm.
place. You know, because if you think of fall 14 with painting, sculpture, and winter 15 will be John Acumfra, The Unfinished Conversation, Terry Adkins, Flumen Oration, Zined Zadira, Image Keeper, Steve McQueen and Credit, and Sheila Keeley with a new work of art, and also Sven Augustinsson with Spectres. These are all film-based, very subject matter heavy, very political, but we are living in a really political world.
Mm-hmm.
We're, again, with today when we're speaking, there's what's happening in Hong Kong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we're living in highly political era. So I think as a public gallery showing living artists, we have at the same time to maybe show works that might seem only contemplative.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have to have the shift with artists who are doing, you know, works that are film-based, more subject matter heavy. So the visitor who's coming now in the fall, and if that same visitor mm-hmm. comes in the winter, is going to go, whoa, this is
something completely
and the
different.
Gallery is transformed.
So I guess what you're saying is that these questions are part of your process
mm-hmm.
all the time, and in fact there's really other people need to be asking these questions
mm-hmm.
because in order to the result of a lot of this questioning, this natural questioning, is a lot of diversity of content and presentation and ideas
mm-hmm.
and challenges in terms of political references and experience. So yeah, that's interesting. Thank you. So now our listeners are artists as well as other people, and you've told us lots of reasons why people should come to the power plant. Is there any other reason you could think of besides all this fantastic range of programming?
Well, I would say, you know, we really want, because I really believe in the we, like I don't do this by myself. We have like a great team. Everybody works really hard. I really believe that it is our role and our responsibility to create this environment in which people are not afraid to cross the threshold of the gallery, for them to know that we're really open. But at the same time, as I say, is that art for all. But I can't promise everyone that what they will see, they will love all the time, right? But I can promise it that they'll be challenged. I can promise them that they'll be welcome. I can promise them that there'll be enough people around to give them insight on the work, right? Through the public programming, through our gallery attendants that are always ready to answer questions. I even push them. I tell them, you know, if you overhear somebody talking and asking themselves a question out loud, don't be shy. Introduce yourself and go, I've overheard you. Would you like to know XYZ? So that people start to understand that what contemporary artists are doing is as much about what contemporary artists do than it is about us, the contemporary people living at that same time. So to try to break that barrier, to show the multidisciplinarity of artistic practice, to show how with the bridges that are created with the public program, we create this environment where people can see art, understand it, engage with it, and not be so afraid of it. And then, you know,
not feel like that they have to have a master's in fine art in order to understand what the artist is saying.
That's it, but we are creating different opportunities for them to understand if they wish to do so.
In their own way.
Completely in their own way. And so also the space of the power plant, which is this old coal-burning power station, which each time gets completely transformed, which is something that is specific to what we can do in such a nimble, you know, team and environment, is also something that's unbelievable, because from one show to the other, it's as if we reinvent the space completely.
Well, it's huge. The wall space
is
tremendous, yes.
And then I would say the last thing, I mean, the setting, we're by Lake Ontario, by the waterfront, and it's beautiful, and I think that it's still at the center of the city, and it's also Toronto is a city that is looking at its waterfront much more than it used to. So I think that the power plant's been there for now 27 or 28 years, and so I really encourage people to, you know, come in, look at the work, ask questions, and they'll know that they'll always be welcome. And, you know, we produce catalogs. We really try to do everything in our power to really create a milestone for artists, and to put the two key groups that I'm interested in are the artists and the audience. How do we, this is our role, to be the mediator of these two groups, and so that each other sees themselves in the eyes of the other.
Well, Gaëtan Verna, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.